Revelation chapter number 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns upon, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life, book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth make and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Heavenly Father, well, what an amazing chapter, Lord. We're going to be, Lord, introduced to, Lord, the devil and, Lord, his unholy trinity tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we have a better understanding, Lord, as we see the spirit of Antichrist already descending upon the earth, descending upon our country. And Lord, already some of these things that we would have read maybe 20, 30 years ago that we would have had a hard time imagining. Now, Lord, as we are here in the last of the last days, we can certainly see the spirit of Antichrist already taking hold upon even a country like the United States of America. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to, Lord, have some determination tonight to be faithful. And dear God, to be busy in sharing the gospel with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All righty, very good. Let me just do kind of a quick review. Everything's gone in pretty much chronological order all the way up to chapter number 10 and through chapter number 10. All of a sudden we get to chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And four chapters in a row, we kind of stop right here at the 3.5 year mark. And we focus on different elements or different things that are going to happen for a chapter apiece. For instance, as we looked at chapter number 11, we all of a sudden stopped and realized and looked at the idea of Jesus Christ coming down. I believe it's Jesus Christ that puts his foot on the sea and puts his foot on the land. And at 3.5 year mark, he says, time is no more. And we see a very purposefully in that chapter where Jesus Christ then shifts the bulk of his attention to the Jewish nation, and he turns his heart back to the Jewish people. Chapter number 12, you know what we do? We kind of see a history, kind of a brief history of the devil. all the way from when he fell from heaven in the opening verses and deceiving a third of the angels of heaven with him, and then his attempts to try to prevent the child from being born, the Messiah from coming, and then of course his determination to destroy the Messiah once he does come. And then we shift at the end of the chapter and see that the devil doubles down on the idea of trying to destroy God's chosen people. He's never gotten over the fact that he wasn't able to stop the Messiah from coming. He's always held a hardness and a hatred in his heart towards the Jewish people. And in the last 3.5 years, yes, God is going to turn his heart back to the children of Israel, but the devil is going to turn his aim at the children of Israel to try to do everything he can to annihilate them and destroy them. Then in chapter number 13, and we'll talk about 14 next week, but 13, what we're going to look at tonight, we get introduced to the Antichrist in more detail. Not only the Antichrist, but we see who empowers the Antichrist, which is the dragon or the devil. And then the second beast, in verse number 11, I beheld another beast coming up. That's talking about the false prophet. Now, folks, the beast or the Antichrist will rule through political means. The false prophet will help him, stand beside him and help him take over the earth, and especially in the name of religion, persecute born-again Christians and God's Jewish believers with the tool of religion. We've seen that in the past before, folks. Come on. You ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's not like that the devil hasn't turned religion into a tool to try to destroy saved people before. And so we're going to see that tonight. So the first nine or 11 verses, I kind of separate 10 and 11, there's a warning there, but the first 9 verses gives us a lot of information about the Antichrist. Now, for those of you that came here excited because you're hoping that there's some clue in these verses to tell us who the Antichrist is, you know, I don't know. You know, my best guess at the two witnesses is, John Wayne and Chuck Norris. I think the Antichrist is Aaron Rodgers, and that's simply because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. Most of you don't even know enough about football to appreciate how funny that really was, but if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you can see where it used to be Brett Favre, I thought it was. Now it's Aaron Rodgers, and it may be Jordan Love. Is that right? He might be the next one on the list. I don't know. Anyway, moving right along here. All right. First 3 verses, notice this. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. You'll notice a few times in the book of Revelation that something comes out of the sea. And what that's talking about is the sea of humanity. Matter of fact, one time we'll see later on in the book of Revelation, it literally says that that's what it means. So somewhere out of the midst of humanity, folks, out of the sea of humanity, maybe coming from a direction and somebody that nobody would have ever guessed. But the chaos that is created by the first 3.5 years and the judgments, there's going to come from that a leader who's going to seem to have all of the answers. Remember, for the first 3.5 years, he's going to come riding a white horse. He's got a bow. He doesn't have any order arrows. He's going to be preaching peace, and he's going to make peace with Israel, and everything's going to seem great. But at the 3.5 year mark, he's going to show who he truly is. And so we see him rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Notice this, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. Now, wait a minute, that's different than what we read in chapter number, let's see, where was that? I didn't write that reference down. All right, let's see here. Here it is, chapter number 12, if you look back in verse number 3. It says, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And notice this, 7 crowns upon his heads. So he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. Where are the 7 crowns on? The 7 crowns are upon the heads of the beast there, or of Satan there. Now I want you to compare where the crowns were in that verse and where the crowns are in verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads. There's the 7 heads. There's the 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the more I study this, more, and again, I'm not going to speak emphatically here, but I really like the commentary that I read that suggests that, you know what, the 10 heads here is talking about 10 political leaders or 10 nations or 10 people groups, 10 political powers that are going to come into power, and that the seven horns are talking about the idea of satanic powers, or the Bible calls them rulers of the darkness of this world. If that is true, and again, I'm not 100% on this, you see that these satanic rulers have now taken the crowns that they have worn, and they've placed crowns upon 10 national leaders or 10 world leaders, 10 leaders of 10 nations, and they are now going to rule in the same level of power that the devil has given his satanic army, satanic leaders. And so we see that all of a sudden there's a shifting of where the crowns are. Verse number 2 describes this beast, and we read in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, when we talk about the dragon in this portion of scripture, we're talking about the devil. It is the devil that is going to empower the Antichrist. I talked about the unholy Trinity. Everything God has ever done, the devil's tried to mimic. And we're going to see it again and again and again in this chapter, that while the devil is presenting himself as the Antichrist, he's mimicking and I think mocking God in the process. All right. You want to have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? He said, "I'll have me, Satan, and I'll have the beast, the Antichrist, and I'll have the second beast, which is the false prophet. And I also will have my Trinity." And so we see all of that introduced in this portion of scripture. And so the beast is empowered by the dragon, Satan himself. We also see this in verse number 4. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast." And so we're going to see Satan is after what he was not allowed to have in heaven. Yeah. Folks, God gave the devil, or Lucifer at that time, the archangel, an amazing position and great beauty. And he also was over all of the music of heaven. But the one thing that the devil coveted after was one thing God would never share. And by the way, this is a good lesson for all of us. You know what? "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." Amen. And it's always bothered the devil and bothered Lucifer that he could have all of this beauty and all of this authority, but the one thing he never got was worship. Yeah. And you'll see again and again in the Bible that the devil, he wants worship. Now, let's take this, okay? Because how do I know if I'm being satanically influenced in my life? Listen, folks, I preached a message I preached it here years ago, but I preached it when I was out in Colorado, entitled "Give the Crown to the King." And it's about Joab. And Joab went and he won a battle when David didn't go to war. And he won a battle, but he wouldn't accept the surrender, because he said, "If I accept the surrender, they might name the city after me." He waited till David got there and made David accept the surrender and accept the crown from the king's head. Because you know what, folks, let's be reminded of this. There's a lot of soldiers. Hey, God is still recruiting young people, soldiers for the army of the Lord. It's an honor to be a soldier. I mean this, it's an honor to be a soldier. It's an honor to, you know what, carry his banner. It's an honor to wear his armor. It's an honor to fight his causes. It's honored. But listen, when it comes to the crown, there's only one place where the crown ought to go, and that ought to go on the head of the king. And if you want to know whether or not you're being satanically influenced, then you start grappling with God over who's wearing the crown. Come on, who gets the credit? All right, tell me that didn't sneak into your heart a little bit tonight. Be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful. You know what? I'm a soldier of the Lord. God allows me to win some victories for the cause of Christ. But you know what? My dad said, come on. Most dangerous place to stand is between God and his glory. Folks, there's only one king. Be happy just being a soldier. Be happy just getting to be in the army. But if we win anything, we won it because of him. So why should we take credit for it? And so think about that, because the devil, one of the things that the devil couldn't get away from was the fact that when all the angels of God worshiped him, and I think even Lucifer did, but there was something in his heart that said, you know what? I did some of this. That wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for me. Why aren't I getting some of the credit? Why aren't I getting some of the worship? Listen, you better be careful, because if that's sneaking in your heart, you better know who it's coming from. Be very careful, okay? And we see this. You know what? If you think about it, the devil, that's what he's been after. The chapter reveals the unholy trinity that will rule during the tribulation period. I mentioned this. Satan, the beast, first beast that's mentioned, the Antichrist, the second beast, the false prophet. Satan will control the earth through the political, through a political avenue, through the beast, the Antichrist. The religious leaders will fall under the leadership of the false prophet. Verse number 3, the beast will again seek to mimic the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Think about that phrase, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now think about this. So he's not only mimicking the Trinity, but now also he's going to mimic the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is crazy to me, because as I meditated on this, we're going to find out that the whole world turns and worships the beast. The unsaved world turns and worships the beast because of this miracle resurrection. And yet Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And you know what? A bunch of Roman soldiers were paid off to lie about it. And a bunch of preachers were persecuted in the book of Acts. Come on, persecuted in the book of Acts, because they were preaching what? The resurrection. And yet when the devil fakes a resurrection, and I think he does, fakes a resurrection, then all of a sudden all the world says, well, there's proof that he must be the Christ. He must be God, because he overcame this deadly wound. He does so. He fakes or mimics the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does so by suffering what the Bible calls a deadly wound. That word wound, deadly wound, means to butcher, to slaughter, to kill. So this is going to be very public. We read later on that this wound was caused by the sword, down in verse number 14. Look at verse 14 and 15. It refers back to this. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Look at verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. We'll talk about that when we get down there. But here we see that the devil is going to mimic the Trinity, then he's going to mimic the resurrection and use that to convince people, to deceive people into worshiping him. At the end of verse number 3, and all the world wondered after the beast. What's verse 4 then say? We go down, we're given more information about the beast, the Antichrist. This is talking about him. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. The devil's been after worship all this time, couldn't have it. And he's finally going to get it. He's finally going to get it. Remember what he said in Isaiah chapter 14, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'm finally going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what I've coveted. God alone has been the one that's been allowed to receive worship, and I want worship. And that got him kicked out. By the way, Luke chapter 4, remember when the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness? How about that third temptation? The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know, this is crazy, because the devil went from wanting to be like the Most High God to being worshiped by the Most High God. Now he's even gone farther. He's tempting Jesus, saying, I'll give you all of this, just Jesus, worship me. Now that gives you, again, a look into the heart of the devil. And so this is what he's after. And during the tribulation period for a while, this is what he's finally going to get. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So this is the things that they'll be saying as the people begin to turn towards worship, first to the dragon and secondly to the beast. Notice, if you will, jump down to verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who is this? Let's give a qualifier. All that dwell upon the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all of the people on earth that's not saved, every unsaved person will turn and worship the beast and worship the dragon during this time. And so we see that verse number one, the people begin to worship. Verse four, the people begin to worship the dragon and the beast. Look at verse 5 and 6. The mouth of the beast speaking great things. Notice this, verse 5. And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things. And, well, that's important, that next one, blasphemies. That word blasphemies, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance in the dictionary, it means the vilification of God. The vilification of God. What does it mean to blaspheme God? It means to literally make God the bad guy, to make him the villain. And so here the devil's saying, you ought to worship me. And by the way, not only should you worship me, you should turn your back on the Creator, or the one who claims to be the Creator. And those that worship the true and living God, folks, are going to be viewed as worshiping a villain. Think about that. The vilification, that's what blasphemes mean. And that's not the only place it's mentioned. Notice this, and power into verse 5 was given unto him to continue 42 months. So the last 3.5 years, it's going to be a rough stretch. I'm going to go ahead and prepare you what we're going to see here. It's going to be a period of great martyrdom. There's going to be a lot of people that are saved that die in that last 3.5 years. We know and we see that Israel, remnant of Israel, will be spared during the last 3.5 years. That's what the Battle of Armageddon is all about, is them rising up to try to annihilate the last of the believing Jews. I'm not sure that there will be a believing Christian Gentile alive at the end of the 3.5 years. I don't know for sure, but what you're going to see in this portion of Scripture that this is a period of great martyrdom. And so he speaks great things, boastful things, blasphemous things. He's going to vilify God. In verse 6, notice what he specifically blasphemes. He opened his mouth and blaspheming against God. To blaspheme, how's he going to do it? To blaspheme his name. Three things here, folks. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. All right, so when I talked about, is there already the spirit of Antichrist? Is there already the spirit of blasphemy? All right, come on. If you went out and worked today in the workaday world, don't tell me you didn't hear God's name blasphemed at least once time. I mean, I was flying back from Colorado in a plane, and the two men sitting in front of me, filthy mouth. I don't understand that, folks. I'm talking about and using things and saying things that, and there's women around. Excuse me, but I'm kind of old school on that. Amen. Just one thing, you had a filthy mouth around men. I don't think you ought to ever have a filthy mouth, but you used to have enough respect that there was a woman around. You didn't talk a certain way. Amen. I'm talking about even the lowest lifes out there knew to clean their mouth up. Just up there, and I mean, folks, there's no shame in blaspheming God. There's no shame in using the name of Jesus Christ in a blasphemous way. Sounds like to me the spirit of Antichrist is already here. How about against this tabernacle? I understand the local New Testament church isn't the same thing as the tabernacle. But folks, you think about this. You blaspheme against the name of God. Blaspheme against the house of God. More and more folks, listen, 25, 30 years ago, we'd knock on doors at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You'd ask somebody, do you go to church anywhere? And they'd kind of drop their head and look ashamed of themselves and say, yeah, well, I don't. I know I probably need to. And now it's laid look at you like, why should I go to that place? Why should I go to any church? Blaspheming the name of God, the tabernacle of God. And then it's talking about the people of God. And there's going to be more and more the heart of this world turned against God and his house, his gathering place, and his people. And that's going to set off the great persecution and the period of martyrdom in this last 3.5 years. So we see the mouth of the beast in verse 5 and 6. Verse 7, the beast will make war against the saints of God. And by the way, God will allow him to overcome them. That's what it says there in verse number 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I want you to understand, all kindreds, all tongues, all nations, through the political realm and also through the religious tool of persecution, the Antichrist is going to have world, his power and dominion is going to stretch into every corner of this world. I just want to say it plain. There will be no place to hide. All kindreds, all tongues, all nations. He is going to make war with the saints and be allowed to overcome them. That's why I have written my notes. This is going to be a time of great, a period of great martyrdom. Many will die for their faith and for their refusal to take the mark of the beast. We'll get to that in a minute. Notice verse 9 and 10. Notice the warnings in verse 9 and 10. If any man, this is where God, verse 9 and 10 just kind of stops. And I think that this is included to encourage those that are alive during the tribulation period that's facing this. You know what? There's still going to be some Bibles around. They're going to be reading this as they watch it happen. Those that embrace Christ. And here's what God includes. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And notice what it says. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know what? Here's a message for the tribulation believers. I believe it is God saying, endure this. Endure this. Exercise patience and exercise faith. Watch this. Everything that the devil is unleashing, he's taking you into captivity. One of these days, I'm going to take him into captivity. Okay? Come on, watch this. He will one day reap what he sows. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Only the devil is going to experience something called the second death, which is an everlasting death in the lake of fire. And I think that's just a little bit of encouragement there, saying if you're having to face this, you exercise patience and you exercise your faith, because there's going to be a day where God balances the books on all of this. That's verse 9 and 10. Now we're introduced in verse 11 to the false prophet, verse 11 through 15. And a few things about him. He'll come again out of the earth, verse number 11. Another beast. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this, but you got to look up that word beast. That's pretty amazing. It's talking about a murderous, venomous animal. A murderous, venomous animal. So there's two beasts. Both are identified as a beast. Which means this, they are dangerous, they are murderous, they are venomous, and they are animal-like in what they will do. And so I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He has two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Watch this. This is a religious leader. Think about this, with the appearance of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. And once again, deceiving people. Look, if you will, in verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. So these two are going to stand side by side and they're going to be equal in power. He causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Here it's mentioned again, whose deadly wound was healed. That's a big deal. That's going to be a big selling point. Who's ever risen from the dead? And the few Christians that are left are shouting, Jesus did, but nobody believes that. By the way, there's a lot of Americans that don't believe that today. When the Christians are gone, you know, he's going to do it and the whole world will see it. I'm talking about the beast. He will do it and the whole world will see it. The whole world didn't see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Watch this. Look right up here. Because if you're going to believe the gospel, you got to believe it by faith. By faith. But he's going to very publicly mimic what Christ did privately, because he's not asking them to believe in him by faith. He's going to use deception to get them to believe in him. Fascinating, isn't it? Notice, if you will, he will cause the earth and them that dwell therein. Now that's amazing to me, and I'm not sure I totally understand that, but what a phrase. Notice it says that, will cause the earth and them that dwell therein. So when I read the earth, I thought, well, that means all the people. But then it says, and them that dwell therein. So he's going to have such power, he'll literally be able to get the earth, God's created earth, to worship, this fallen world to worship. Say, what does that mean? I don't even know. But that, to me, shows me that he is the prince and power of the air. Remember, the devil's now been cast into the earth, and he is stuck here, and he is here for a short time. And he came down here, folks, determined he was going to wreak havoc. And so, just an interesting phrase there. I'm not sure I did a good job of explaining it, because I'm not sure I really understand it. But you know what? He causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Verse 13 and 14. The false prophet will be satanically empowered to perform great miracles and wonders. Again, an attempt to replicate, mimic the true God of miracles. Folks, he's even going to be able to call down fire from heaven. Did you see that? So think about that. You look in verse number 13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So he's going to validate again that he is who he says he is, that the beast ought to be worshipped, because he's going to show up. And again, folks, did Jesus perform miracles? Did the vast majority of the population of the planet see that happen? No, they really didn't. Small groups of them did. And even some of them at the end were saying, crucify him. But you got to remember, the devil's going to have great influence and great power, and everything he's going to do is public. Now, you may say, boy, they should know better. They shouldn't worship him. Right, put yourself in their situation. Put yourself left here on earth, and the world's in chaos, and all of a sudden, you know what? You pull your smartphone out, and there's the false prophet, and there's pictures of him, and he's calling down fire from heaven, and he's telling everybody, pointing to the beast, that is God. You need to worship him. Now think about it, you know. And then he's going to command them, or cause the people in the earth, to make an image to the beast. Now, this isn't the beast. This is an image or an idol, huge idol. I'm thinking about, kind of goes back to Nebuchadnezzar's day. Nebuchadnezzar was so full of pride, he wanted a big statue of himself, you know. And everybody's supposed to worship that image. But there's something very interesting about this, because then the false prophet goes on. It says in the end of verse number 14 that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now watch this. And he, talking about the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This is talking about resurrecting the beast that was wounded. This is talking about he caused the earth to create an image or an idol to the beast. Again, breaking the second commandment. First one, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou worship. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image. And so he's blaspheming everything that God says, causing people to disobey first of the two Ten Commandments, makes this image. Can you imagine? They made the image, and then the false prophet stands in front of this image. Notice this, that the image of the beast, verse 15, should both speak. So it says in verse 15, the very beginning, he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Think about that. Now again, you know what? You're lost. You've been left behind. The world's in chaos. We're going to see in a minute, you can't buy or sell or get food. You know what? All these supposedly evidences that God has come down to man, the Antichrist, the dragon, this false prophet, religious leader that has the appearance of a lamb but the voice of a dragon. And they're all pointing you that you need to do this and you need to worship this and you need to build this image. By the way, good job building the image. Now watch this. And the image begins to speak. And as the image speaks, it commands the people to find anyone who refuses to worship it and go put them to death. I mean, this is, you talk about sci-fi, this is crazy stuff. But folks, this isn't fiction. This is going to happen. This is real. Pretty amazing. And then we get down to, he mentions again, whose deadly wound was healed, verse number 15, the religious arm of the satanic trinity will carry out the execution of those who refuse to worship the image of the beast. verse number 15, and causes many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now we're going to get down to the last thing here, the mark of the beast. Now this false prophet is going to cause, he causeth all, both small and great. Okay, I don't care how important you are or how insignificant you are. It's going to be required of you. Rich or poor, you don't buy your way out of this. Richest person has to do it. Poorest person has to do it. Free and bond, it doesn't matter if you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you're free. You know what? He's going to cause all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So there's going to be one of two physical locations where you're going to have some type of a mark. There's three options, by the way. I'll show them to you in a minute here. Three out. Everybody said, well, they take 666. Well, there's three options, not just the number. But you got to have one of three markings on your forehead or on your right hand or on both. And notice what the significance here, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now think about this. I've never seen this before. I don't think I've ever heard a preacher mention this before. But the Bible is very clear on this. Sometimes people will say, well, you know what? Obviously, people know 666 is the mark of the beast. Nobody's going to get the mark of the beast. No one would be that. I mean, the worst person in the world would understand what that is. Well, the devil's a deceiver. Okay, so you're going to have three options. First of all, they call it the mark. Now, folks, think about this, because everything is about trademarking something. You identify Nike by what? Yeah. Not the name Nike, a swoosh. Yes, sir. Okay, and by the way, if you go and get into marketing, every single company out there wants to come up with a symbol so that when you just see the symbol, it transcends all languages that way. Like, you might not be able to read the word Nike, come on, in English if you're from another country, but you know what that is. So the devil's going to trademark something. There's going to be some mark, okay, something that that is going to instantly identify worldwide, no matter what the language is, that is connected with the worship of the beast. So people say, oh, I'm not going to get 666. Well, you don't have to get that. You can just get this little mark here. It's not 666. Oh, okay, I guess that'd be all right. Some people will take the name. Think about that, the name of the beast. Because it says there in verse 17, the mark or the name of the beast. There's going to be some people that are so proud of worshiping the beast, they're going to want his name, whatever his name is, going to be tattooed or however they're going to do it, on their hand or on their forehead. I'm not ashamed, put it right there. You know, that's my God. And then there also will be those that take the number of the beast. And that number is identified in the last verse here. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 60. The score is 20, so 60. 660 and 6, or 666. And again, folks, we're going to be at a point in time in the world where everything's going to be so controlled. The population that's left at this point is going to be so desperate. Food is going to be so hard to get come by. Water is going to be so hard to get. People are going to have children. Come on, there's going to be real life stuff. And you know what? They will be deceived unless they accept Christ as their Savior. In one way or another, one fashion or another, they're going to be deceived into taking the mark of the beast. And boy, the good news is this. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can get saved here tonight. Before it's too late, you don't even have to worry about any of this stuff. But folks, this is real. And your lost neighbors and your lost loved ones, come on, and the lost people in this community, okay, they can mock it, they can not go to church, they can blaspheme, they can do whatever they want to. It isn't going to change a thing. They will face this. So I don't know about you, but between now and this coming Sunday, I think I'm going to pass out some of these tracts right here. I think I might go knock on a few doors. I think I might make a few phone calls. I might just listen to the preacher and take a picture of this card and send it to a few people and say, why don't you come this Sunday? I have a feeling if we got lost people here Sunday morning, I just know Brother Smith well enough that I have a feeling he's going to give them the gospel. Let's do what we can, folks. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, that you would, Lord, open our eyes to the scriptures to understand, to know, to be wise. Here is wisdom. That's what we read in that last verse. And Lord, the book of the Revelation sure unlocks a lot of things. Some things we understand. Some things are very understandable. Some things are, I think, a mystery. And I think some of the things in the book of the Revelation will remain a mystery until the tribulation period is underway. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be busy doing what is plain in the Bible and plainly commanded. And we would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, that give us a passion, dear God, to share the gospel, to make sure that we take over this holiday season. We'll see some loved ones that maybe we haven't seen in some time. Maybe some lost family members. Lord, may we not be ashamed. May we not be, Lord, timid in this matter of sharing the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.